for his goodness this week. Brother Joel, come up the road this morning just thinking about the goodness of God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Thinking about his love. Brother Joel, before I was ever born, God loved me.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Before he ever made this earth, he loved me.
Yes.
Brother Keith, I know he loved you. Brother Danny. But he loved me. I was thinking as we was coming up the road, brother, you think about the God of heaven, made heaven and earth, spoke everything into existence, made every angel, made heaven, earth, hell, for a purpose. That same God loved me. The same God that split the Red Sea. The same God that healed the sick and raised the dead. He loved me. Seen me way on out before I was ever formed. Before he ever made Adam, he seen me. Seen you. And he loved me. And he loved this little place out here on the west side of Salisbury. Enough and come meet with us. Really, he come, and I was thinking this morning, you think about sacrifices in the Old Testament. Brother Keith, I've been looking at them lambs. They had to be perfect. Had to be perfect. They couldn't have any spot, couldn't have any blemish. And you think about God in heaven that knew that I couldn't be that way and you couldn't be that way. We had sinned and we needed a sacrifice. And the Spirit of God came and overshadowed a woman. What was special about her, brother? Just God loved her. God chose her. That was it. She was a vessel. But God overshadowed her. And God came in a human form, Jesus Christ, and lived a sinless life to be that lamp, that sinless, perfect lamp for me and for you. The only one that, the only human ever that didn't need a sacrifice came to be our sacrifice. What love this morning. Just think about the love of God. I thank him so much for it. I was telling Brother Danny just a little bit ago, I don't know why, but for some reason the last couple of weeks it's been kind of down. I ain't got nothing to complain about. Brother Todd, I have nothing to complain about. God's been so good to me. Blessed me above and beyond measure. There's not a thing in this world I need this morning. I can stand here and say that without a doubt. I ain't lying a bit. I don't need anything. I've got everything I need. God supplied. No complaints. The love of God, I thank him for that. I thank him for loving me. For saving me. By his good grace. Putting me in this family. What a blessing this morning. We'll be back over in James this morning. Chapter 1. It's been a few weeks. We talked about the first couple of verses there. He said in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And you know and I know good and well that that ain't fun whenever you're falling into temptation, whenever you're getting tried, when you're getting tempted. And then he said in 5, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And it says in 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. 8, double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When he said in verse 12, he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Brother Joel, sometimes you just got to endure some things. That word endure means to persevere.
Yes.
To remain. There's things going on around me right now I don't like. But you just got to remain. You just got to keep going. Temptation here, there's a couple different meanings of it, but in this text, it's talking about an adversity, a proven, a trial. That's what he's talking about. Same meaning he's talking about in verse 2 when he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He said, blessed is the man. Happy is the man. Better off is the man that can endure those temptations. And I was thinking this week, it's not always fun. But you're better off, you're blessed, if you don't run, if you don't waver side to side. Do I always do this? No. Brother Keith, there's times that I get under temptation and I fall, I crumble. There he is. And it lets me see just how low I am. But he said, you're blessed, you'll be happy, you'll be better off whenever you don't waver. But when you stand right up underneath the pressure, by the help and grace of God. Brother Danny, that's what it takes. It takes the help and grace of God. Yeah. I can't stand under pressure. You can't stand under pressure without him. We're weak, feeble. This flesh is wicked. But this, he's saying here, if you don't murmur, you don't complain, you just put one foot in front of the other, Brother Joel, and you just keep on going. Just keep going. He said, you'll be blessed. You got to know in those trials, you got to know in temptations that you've been put in that thing for a reason. And the one that placed you there knows better than you do. I was thinking about this week, Brother Keith. I mean, you got to think about this. The God in heaven puts you in this trial for a reason. And it ain't always enjoyable. But he puts you there for a reason. You might need to learn something. You might need to experience some things so you can help somebody else. You might just need to see where you're at. But you got to know that God knows better. And that he'll make a way for you to get through it.
Yes.
I'm talking to myself right now. I've had to remind myself of them things this week. That God has put me in this place at this time to go through some things and to see some things. And that he knows what's best. He said he'll be blessed. Why is that? Because for when he has tried. Says he shall receive the crown of life.
Yes.
Says when he has tried.
Yes.
When he's been proven. When he's gone through these things. When he's went through those testings and those trials and the afflictions. And God uses those things to purge us. He uses those things to purify me. Just as you take gold, silver, any precious metal, they run that thing through a fire. And they'll heat it up to the point where it melts, Brother Keith. And that gold's still gold. It might be in a different form, but it's still gold. But when you do that, all that dross, all those other things, if you got any tin in there, if it's got any lead in there, then all that comes out. It separates. All that dirt does. And that's what a trial is in our lives. It's a purifying. And the Bible says that precious metal tried to go in the fire 7 times. It's not just the one time and it's done and you got everything clean. It takes a cleaning and a cleaning. And And brother, there's sometimes I go through things in my life and I say, unto God, why in the world am I going through this again? But God didn't take it all out the first time. It ain't that He couldn't. Part of that's me. And I'm not saying that I can resist God. I'm not saying that I'm going to go against God. But brother, I can't handle it all at one time sometimes. There's some things in life that's easy to give up. There's some things in life that the Lord can shine some light on and it's, yes, Lord, and I'll go on. I got it the first time. But there's not too many of those things I get it on the first time. I'm pretty hard-headed. I know some of us are too. And it takes a while sometimes for those trials. And that's why we keep going through them. God's showing us exactly where we are. And God keep moving things in our lives. And purifying us. And cleansing us. Psalm 12 verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. And brother, we go through things in this life. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Brother, you just said it just a second ago. We just mentioned it just a second ago. There's people that believe that's a crown, a literal crown. I don't. The word crown there means a mark of royalty, a symbol of honor. But brother, I think in this text, it's the gift of eternal life. It's the gift of eternal happiness. The blessings of God. It's being there. That crown of life is being with Christ forever and ever in heaven. Given to the true believer, that's a crown. That's honor and glory that He's bestowing on you. Why? Not because of what you did, but because of what His Son, Jesus Christ, did in you. Your glory, you're glorifying God. Just you being in heaven, Him saving you, you living a life for Him. And He's crowning there. Says you receive a crown of life. Brother, I think that's eternal life. I think that's when I actually get to possess it. I have eternal life right now, Brother Joel. I will not die until Jesus Christ does spiritually. But there's coming a day when I won't ever die again. This flesh, I won't have no flesh to drop.
That's right.
The Bible says, it is appointed unto man wants to die after this judgment. And most people, unless the rapture comes, then you're going to die in this flesh. I only see a couple in the Bible that didn't, brother. And I don't know about you, but I'm no Enoch. And I ain't seen too many men been carried off in a chariot of fire. But there has been some. But most every man's going to die in this flesh. But one of these days, I'm not going to. And there ain't nothing the devil can do about it, or you can do about it, or I can do about it. Because I'm in Him. And one day, I'm going to be crowned with that eternal life, that crown of glory. I think it is the eternal life, because He says the crown of life. It's for life, forever. Never to be taken away from us. An everlasting crown of glory. And not something that I've attained to. Not something that you've attained to, Brother Joel.
That's right.
I know there's some people that think, well, if I do good enough, you know, I'm going to get this crown of God. Unto God, it ain't nothing we do. It's Him. If you bring any glory to God, it's Jesus Christ working and living in you and through you. It's Jesus Christ, every bit of us. It's Jesus Christ. Only hope we have is in Him. Only way you can glorify God is in Jesus Christ. When I do something in the flesh, it don't give glory to God. It might give me a little bit of pride. Might build me up, but it ain't for the right reasons, and it don't give glory to God. And God only glorifies and only accepts what He gives. And I cannot see the God of heaven giving you a crown for you what something you did. It won't be. It'll be what Jesus Christ did. What did Jesus Christ do? He came and died and saved your soul and made you a vessel unto honor to glorify Him. It says, when He is tried, He shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. The Lord did. I love that word promise. I was listening to a song this morning about the promises of God. A promise is a guarantee that something will happen. Brother Keith, I've promised people things in the past and wasn't able to keep my promise. I wanted to. I meant to. But God ain't ever give up on one of His promises. He's never failed and never will. Every promise He's ever promised me and every promise He's ever promised you and every promise He's ever promised anybody has came true. And it will come true. He will keep His promises. God cannot lie. Will not lie. 1 John 2, verse 25, He said, and this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. Even eternal life. It's what He promised me. And I have it in Him right now, but one day I'm going to get it over on the other side. In Hebrews 10, He said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He said in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. He is. I can hold fast the profession of my faith, Brother Joel, because He's faithful that promised. He promised me the eternal life. And so I can stand on that assured, knowing that what He said He's going to do. There's trials that come my way. And if I didn't have that assurance, then I'd probably be kicked off somewhere out there going on my own way. Because in myself, what hope do I have? I still know me, Brother Joel. My flesh is still here. But in Him, I got the promise. I got assurance, full assurance, that I'm His and He's mine. Titus 1, verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life with God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Brother Keith, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. In 2 Timothy, he talks about a crown of life, a crown of righteousness that He's laid up for me. Those are some pretty good promises, brother. It says, He shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. And brother, when you get born again, when He puts the love of God in you, then you will love Him. You will. I know some people in this life claim to be Christians. Said they were saved 40 years ago. Ain't been to church in 20 years. Don't read the Bible. Don't do anything for God. Where's the love of God at in their life, brother? That's not the same thing I got. It just ain't. God put a love of God in my heart. a love for the things of God. I want to hear preaching. I want to hear the word taught. I want to have fellowship with my brothers and my sisters. It says, the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. And then it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. He just said in verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. In verse 12, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Verse 13, he said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Brother, that's the same word, but it's a different meaning.
Yep.
It's a different meaning. Does God ever put trials and tribulations in my path? Sure He does. But that's not what He's saying here. He said, let no man say when he is tempted. That word means to entice. Entice to evil. Or provoked. And brethren, God does send trials my way, but He don't ever send sin my way. And God don't ever send sin your way. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. Jesus Christ was holy, sinless Son of God. God the Father, holy, sinless. The Holy Ghost, holy, sinless. God is perfect, without sin, incapable of sin. God will never, nor never has He ever tempted you to sin. I was talking about this with somebody not long ago. Well, maybe about a year ago. But he was talking about how Jesus was tempted. The Bible says Jesus was tempted. He said, you said God couldn't be tempted. And yes, the devil said, Jesus up in that high place. And He said, I can give you this and I can give you that. But brother, God, Jesus Christ was God. And while His flesh was tempted by the devil, God was never tempted to sin. Jesus Christ never was tempted to sin. His flesh, this flesh, the devil, he knew he might do something with that. He thought he might could do something with that. But he's 100% God. He's still man, but he's God. Why would he want to fall down at Satan's foot and worship him that he could get everything he's seen? God made every bit of it. Jesus Christ had made that. He wasn't tempted. Bible said He was holy, pure, without guile, perfect. God tries my faith. God sends trials and tribulations my way. But He never one time tempts me with sin. He never entices me to go after sin. And He'll tell you in the next couple of verses, but if you sin, it's your flesh. It's my sorry mess that does it. It ain't God. It says, but every man is tempted. Brother Todd, that's every one of us. We all in the same boat. Man, woman, boy, girl. Every man is tempted. When? when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It says every man. That's every, each and every one of us, all of mankind. That word tempted there means to entice, to tempt, to solicit. And that's a battle that we all got to face in this flesh. He says, you'll be tempted when you're drawn away. Well, that's to entice. Brother Keith, it takes the meaning of a lure or a bait. My boys love to fish. They'll send them lures out there. They'll try to entice that fish to come up and get on it.
Yeah.
We planted stuff out there in the field and the deer like it. And you throw some corn out there and they like it. And they'll come out there. That's the same meaning. They're drawn away or tempted. And just like old catfish, you take, throw you some stinking mess on there, old stink bait, and throw it out there. It likes the looks of it. It likes the smell of it. And it'll pull it off that river bottom, and that thing will come up there and grab that hook that it normally wouldn't do. And it's the same way I'm tempted, same way you're tempted. It's by your lust. It says drawn away of his own lust. Brother Danny, I don't know what you're tempted by. You might not know what I'm tempted by. But it's my lust. It's your lust. What bothers you? Brother Keith, what bothers you might not bother me. What bothers you, Brother Aaron, might not bother me. But what drives me away, what drives me and tempts me is my own lust. Lust, a lot of people think just purely sexual or sensual. But lust is a longing or a desire for something. A desire for something you shouldn't have. That's what it is. That's a craving that you've got. And then he said, is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And that word enticed means to entrap, to catch by a bait, to allure, to deceive. Brother Joel, it's my desire, it's my longings after things that tempts me. It's my own flesh. It looks by the word enticed there. It looks like it to me. That word enticed means to deceive. That it's my sinful fleshly lust that deceived me into doing what I want to do, what this flesh wants to do. Brother Todd, the Spirit of God in you, the Spirit of God in me, wants to do right. It will do right when you're living and walking in the Spirit. But whenever I get in the flesh, when you get in the flesh, it's the things that you battle with. Brother Keith, the things that you struggle with in your mind, the things that your flesh hadn't gotten victory over. That's where you're going to be tempted. It says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It says, when lust hath conceived. If you look that up, it means to take prisoner, to capture. But it takes the meaning of a seed planted. a seed planted in your mind, a seed planted down in your heart. It says, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That word, the term bringing forth there, just it really literally means to produce, to birth, to give birth to. So when that seed's been placed in there, something's going to be produced by it. Brother Todd, when a thought comes in your mind, and instead of resisting that thought or rejecting that thought and walking in God, when we sit there and nurture that thing and think about it, that's when it's going to produce something. That's when it's going to produce something. I was thinking yesterday, we got a bunch of chickens, got a couple of roosters. And we all adults here. But if a rooster does his job, and you know what I mean by that. But if a rooster's a rooster and he does what he's supposed to do, then every day that hen is going to lay an egg. And Brother Keith, the seed's in there. It's there. The difference between whether that egg becomes a chick or whether that egg ends up in my plate is whether or not that hen is broody, and two, if I go out there and get that egg. But brother, if that hen goes brooding and she nurtures that thing and she takes care of it and she does everything she's supposed to do, then you can pretty much guarantee in 20 to 22 days there's going to be a chick. That's amazing to me. I've tried to replicate it in an incubator, and you got to have everything just right. And God put it in a hen, and she can do it all by herself. She don't need no help from nobody. She don't need an automatic egg roller. She don't have to have a humidity gauge in there like I do and make sure all the water's just like it's supposed to be. She can do it. And that same thing applies to your and my life. When I nurture and take care of that thought, that seed that's planted in my mind, that lustful thought that's in my mind, if I nurture and take care of that thing, then it will produce sin. It will. You're a fool if you think that you're going to be able to do those things, think those things, act on those things, and not sin, not be produced by it. That's the way it happens. Now, if my hen ain't broody, and she just goes on about her day, and she's happy with the sunlight God gave her, and the worms to eat, and don't worry about that egg, then you ain't got nothing to worry about. But when she nurtures and takes care of that thing, you're going to get a chick. And it's the same way in my life, and the same way in your life. If a thought comes in my mind and I can reject it and go on, if I'm living in God, walking in God, thinking about the things of God, if I will wholly commit myself to Him, then that thought don't bother me. That seed that's planted, I can go on. But brother, if I think on those things, if I nurture and care for those things in my mind, if that's what I give myself over to, and that's the same way with you. If you nurture those things, if that's what you give yourself over to, brother, you'll find yourself before long, you'll be looking for a way for your flesh to do that. And I don't know what you face. I don't know what your problem is, what you deal with. And we all have different problems. But brother, if you let a little bit in there, the Bible says a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. And you let a little bit in there, next thing you know, she's going to fester and she's going to get big. And that's just the way it is. I said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The product of lust is sin. And the product of sin is death. That's what it do. That's what it produces. Bible says, and sin when it is finished. That word finished means complete in its entirety. When it's accomplished, when it's fully grown, that's what you got. It bringeth forth death. I was thinking yesterday about Adam. Adam sinned there in the garden. Adam could blame the wife if he wanted to, but Adam was a sinner. Adam could blame the devil if he wanted to, but Adam was a sinner. And when Adam's sin was finished, he brought forth death. Brought forth death to him and all of mankind. Brother Keith, my sin deserves, the wages of my sin is death. That's what I deserve every time I sin. I deserve death. In Romans 6:23, he says that, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God for that gift. Thank God that there's a way that my sin does not produce eternal death in my life. Why? Because he's given me eternal life. Brethren, as a child of God, we got to keep ourselves under subjection. My spirit, the spirit of God that lives in me is perfect. The spirit of God that lives in me, not necessarily Robert Parker, but the spirit of God that lives in me is perfect. But he's housed in sinful flesh. Brother Keith, if I subject myself unto him, if I get up in the morning and I read the word of God and I pray, and I sing the songs of God as I'm going to church or going to work tomorrow, or while I'm at work, I'm thinking about him. If I'm in a constant state of prayer, and that's the way I live my life tomorrow, and Jesus Christ is living through me, and whenever I get a word from him, I talk to somebody about it, speak to them about the things of God. If that's what my meditation is, then tomorrow, whenever those thoughts come in my mind, when those things try to get in my heart, it'd be a whole lot easier to forsake those things and reject them and go on living for God. But you know good well as I do that if you're living in the flesh tomorrow and I'm living in the flesh tomorrow, thank the Lord I ain't got to drive back down to the south side of Charlotte, but if I was getting that car and had to drive back down there and get in the flesh again, then it's a whole lot easier for those things to come into my heart. A whole lot easier for those sin, those lustful thoughts, whatever it is that's bothering me tomorrow, it's a whole lot easier for that to conceive and to bring forth sin. It says, and then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He said in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. He's saying don't be deceived. Don't go astray. He said, do not err, my beloved brethren. He's talking about there, the same thing he was talking about over in verse 13. He said, let no man say when I'm tempted, when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. He's saying, Brother Keith, don't be deceived about that thing. Your sin is your sin. My sin is my sin. If I got lust in my heart and it's conceived and brought forth sin, then it was me. It wasn't God. It was my lust. It was my flesh. It was my unwillingness to reject the things of God. That's what brought forth sin. Brother Keith, whenever I have a bad day and I get angry about things, you know, a lot of times, the Bible says, be angry and sin not, and I know I'm. Brother, there's times I get angry about some things. Frustrated with the situation. But brother, if I can let those things go and realize that those people need my prayer, they need help of God, and if I don't sit there and nurture on those things and think about those things, there's a lot of times I won't sin in those things. I'm going to be honest with you. I got a temper. My wife can attest to that. And a lot of times, I let a lot of things build up. And brother, I know me. And if I can pray about it, I can just roll off my back and go on and not worry about it. I try not to worry about a lot of things. But brethren, whenever I think on those things, and when you think on those things, there could be a thing that something that could happen, and I'm not saying that anybody has. I ain't got nothing against anybody in this place. Nobody has done me wrong. But a brother could have done something the other day, and it might not have been exactly right the way I think it ought to have been done. I might have done something to somebody else. Brother Todd, if I sit there and think on them things, and that's what I'm studying on, and that's what I'm nurturing on, then that thing's going to build up. And it's going to conceive sin in my heart. And then before long, I'll be backbiting my brethren. I'll have malice toward him. Envy and strife. Those things will fester. And they'll keep getting bigger. Brother, it don't matter what it is. It don't matter if it's a lustful thought or anger or bitterness towards your brethren or whatever it is. We have to guard ourselves. My sin is my sin. Your sin is your sin. It ain't God that did it. Never. Not one time. Did God allow that thing to come through my life? Sure he did. But he didn't cause me to sin. This generation today drives me crazy. Ain't nobody responsible for anything. You know, they're entitled to everything, and they're not responsible for anything. Unto God, I hope my children don't grow up that way. But we are responsible for what we do. And in this scripture here, brethren, James is telling us if you let those things fester, then it's your fault. It's your sin. It's my sin. When I don't let Jesus Christ live through me, then I will have sin in my life. I will. You might be a better man than I am. But I know me. I know Robert Parker. And if I'm not living in him, if I'm not thinking on him all day, if I'm not letting him live through me, then it will grow. In Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Brother Keith, if I sow to the flesh, I planted some things out in my field this last year. Got some clover on one side, buckwheat on the other. It would be crazy of me to think that clover is going to be on the side that I planted buckwheat on. It'd be just as crazy to think that I'd have clover on the side that the buckwheat's on, or buckwheat's on the side the clover's on, because that's not what I planted. And it would be foolish for me to think in myself that I'm going to be spiritual and live all week to myself. it's crazy for me to think that God's going to bless me and use me on Sunday when I've spent the last 6 days living in the flesh, living in Robert Parker. What I sow to is what I'm going to get. And surely God has blessed us in times when we didn't deserve it. Surely God has. And there's times that God has helped me, and I surely wasn't doing what I'm living right, wasn't doing like I should have. Brother, if you want to expect something, you ought not ever expect it if you didn't plan it. I would never expect my front yard to just be corn tomorrow because I didn't plant corn in my front yard. Well, that'd be foolish, Brother Aaron. What we plant, we will reap. What we do in this life is what we're going to get back. And brother, our temptation, my lust, my flesh, it is the reason for my problems. Your flesh is the reason for your problems. Brother Keith, I ain't causing you sin. Jesus ain't neither. You can blame the devil if you want to, but he ain't the problem either. It's you. Now, does he tempt you? Sure, he might. At the end of the day, it's your sinful flesh. It's my sinful flesh. We ought to watch and guard for ourselves. Keep under your body. Bring it under subjection. I'm teaching something I don't do. I mean, I try, brother. I mean, every man in here can say the same thing. I try. But brother, we all need that this morning. We've got to keep under our body and bring under subjection.